for joining us. I'm Diane Rehm. A prison in a small Illinois town 150 miles west of Chicago may soon hold suspected terrorists the government has deemed too dangerous to put on trial. The administration hopes relocating approximately 100 detainees now held at Guantanamo Bay will be one more step toward closing that controversial facility. Joining me in the studio to talk about the political and legal challenges that remain in shutting down Guantanamo, Ken Good with the Center for American Progress, Juan Carlos Arati, he's former Deputy National Security Advisor for Combating Terrorism under the George W. Bush Administration, and Tom Parker with Amnesty International USA. Do join us, 800-433-8850. Send us your email to drshow@wamu.org. You can also join us through Facebook and Twitter. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Good morning, Diane.
Nice to see you. I wonder if you, Ken Good, can tell us a little bit about this Thompson Correction Center.
Well, Thompson is a prison in western Illinois that was built in 2001, 2002. So it's a relatively new prison, but it, for some reason, was relatively lightly used. There were only about 145 prisoners there when it has a capacity of more than 1,000. And it was a maximum security prison with a very high level of security around the perimeter of the base, of the prison. And it was a good candidate for doing the type of mission that is required for holding detainees at Guantanamo.
And was it simply a matter of money that kept the facility so underused?
Yes, absolutely. And, of course, that is another reason why this particular location was selected, because the area and the region has been particularly hard hit by the economic and financial crisis. There's high unemployment in the area, and the local community, starting with the governor of the state, the senators from Illinois, as well as local politicians, are all in support of bringing the Guantanamo prison, at least part of it, to Thompson as a way of helping boost the local economy. I think we're talking about a neighborhood of 3,000 jobs that will be associated with this. So that was one of the reasons why they chose it.
Okay. One of the reasons. What else? What else went into that decision to move those Guantanamo Bay prisoners there to Illinois?
Well, I think it's important to note from the lead-in that it's not just detainees from Guantanamo that are thought to be too dangerous to release but won't be prosecuted that are going to be headed there. It's also detainees who will be prosecuted in a military tribunal. So what we see here with this group is detainees that are going to remain in military custody. So it is both military tribunal convictions as well as this possible group of detainees. We don't know how large this category will be, but who have been deemed unable to be prosecuted for a variety of reasons and also too dangerous to release.
Ken Good, he's Associate Director of the Center for American Progress. Juan Zarate, tell us a little more about the ones who are staying at Guantanamo and the ones who are leaving.
Well, Diane, in looking at the Guantanamo population, you've got subsets. You've got individuals who are set to be released and transferred, and the prior administration and the Obama administration has been looking for countries to transfer these individuals. The Chinese Uyghurs, for example, fall into that category. Then you have individuals who are potentially subject to either criminal or military commission trials. And that obviously is subject to decisions of the Obama administration. Then you've got this other category of those who are dangerous, too dangerous to release, but against whom we do not have sufficient evidence to present in either a criminal context or a military commission context. And that's the category of population that is to be held preventatively. And I think one of the challenges of this transfer is understanding exactly what that population is that will transfer into Illinois, because I think transferring the population that will be held preventatively actually complicates the issues, because the underlying legal problems with Guantanamo have always centered around how you detain individuals for the long term who are too dangerous to release for national security reasons, but for which we don't have the appropriate legal framework. The prior administration, frankly, failed to finally establish that, and the Obama administration has yet to do that as well.
Juan Zarate, he's senior advisor with the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He was former deputy national security advisor under the George W. Bush administration. And joining us now in the studio is Lynn Sweet. She's Washington Bureau Chief for the Chicago Sun-Times and a columnist at politicsdaily.com. Good morning to you, Lynn. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Diane. Good morning.
And good morning to you. We were talking earlier about this facility in Illinois. I know you've seen it. I know that what it is seems to be appropriate for this group of detainees. Why did the administration choose this place?
Here's a few reasons why. There is no political opposition of substance in the state. The leaders are Democratic. Since the announcement, the 7 Republican Illinois lawmakers have opposed this. So the glide path was made clear. The prison is basically a turnkey operation. There are going to be fortifications made to it. Another wall, more stuff, let me just put it that way, to fortify the existing maximum security prison. It was built as a state maximum security prison. This will come up to standards of supermax, or as I might say when we see it all done, super duper max, when they have all the fortifications in. So no local political opposition. The other sites that were surveyed in other states had that. So that's really almost that simple on why this became a rather obvious choice at this point.
You're saying that there were objections from states like Michigan, Kansas.
Yes. Right. The Kansas senators both objected to it. And moreover, you didn't have the nearly empty facility that Illinois has, so you wouldn't have to relocate the inmates. When you do the cost-benefit of this, if the state just had to go buy, or the federal government had to go buy another facility to put the people in there, that it wasn't as efficient as taking over a nearly empty prison.
And Ken Good talked earlier about the job creation that presumably would come along with this facility.
Right, and it's direct and indirect. So, for example, for the surrounding area, if you have people come in, they're going to have kids who might even have to hire more teachers if you have a higher school enrollment. Local police forces might have to beef up their forces just to have more security. I just posted on my blog at Sun Times an internal White House guidance briefing that was given on Tuesday. And I just also posted a memo that went out to the members of the Illinois delegation where they asked a lot of questions, from the mega ones about the legal rights of the prisoners to micro questions about what it might mean to the local school districts and who will pay if children of soldiers move in. I know this sounds like, why am I raising this question? But for those of your listeners who live in towns where there's a big military presence, it always becomes a burden on the local property, not often becomes a burden on the local property owners. So I have these memos up, and you think of them as a lot of FAQs that also go into this very meaty discussion.
Lynn Sweet, she's Washington Bureau Chief for the Chicago Sun-Times, columnist at politicsdaily.com. Tom Parker, what do you think of the selection of this site, the moving of these people from Guantanamo to Illinois?
Well, I think we've started at the right place. This is a political decision really done for domestic political reasons. In terms of the individuals held in Guantanamo, it doesn't change much. We still have indefinite detention. We still have military commissions. Both of these things are inimical to a democratic society and a society that promotes human rights around the world.
So what is your primary objection?
Well, firstly, there's lots of different objections here. Firstly, military commissions, which we do not approve of. At least if you are being brought before a military commission, as we've seen from the pathetically few cases we've had so far, three cases we've had so far, you might get out. You might get out with time served. Military commissions are now probably going to be delayed even further. A lot of the people held in Guantanamo who at least are slated for trial have been held for 7 years now. It's an unconscionably long delay, and this decision will lead to further delays. Another concern is what kind of premises are the people transferred from Guantanamo going to find? The situation in Guantanamo now is not the situation in Guantanamo in 2003. The situation there now is a relatively well-developed prison with a library, recreational facilities. There's a football pitch. There's a gym. It's a 4,000-volume library. People have access to the internet. They have access to movies. I doubt very much that Thompson will be that well-appointed for several years.
So are you suggesting it would have been better to leave them at Guantanamo?
No, I'm suggesting it would have been better to transfer those that could be tried in court because there is actually evidence that they have committed a crime, had been transferred to court and prosecuted in federal courts, that military commissions had never been brought back, and individuals against whom we have no information, no evidence that we can take to a court of law should be released.
But the administration says some of these people, of the population remaining at Guantanamo, will be, of those that are deemed eligible for federal trials.
Yes, indeed. Well, as I understand it, actually, the people who are going to federal court actually are going to be transferred to federal court facilities, not to Thompson.
Right,
Tom,
they won't.
Parker, he's policy director, terrorism and human rights at Amnesty International USA. We'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take your calls. Stay with us. And we're back talking about the transfer of individuals currently being held at Guantanamo Bay to a prison in a small Illinois town 150 miles west of Chicago. And joining us now from his office on Capitol Hill, Congressman Don Mazzullo.
Manzullo.
How are
you,
forgive
Diane?
Forgive me, sir. I am just fine.
Good to see you all the time.
So glad to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
All right. Now, you serve on the Foreign Affairs and Financial Service Committee.
Correct. I sit on this Terrorism Subcommittee on Foreign Affairs.
And tell us why you oppose using the Thompson Prison to hold these detainees.
Well, first of all, Gitmo is not being closed. It's being transferred. In fact, for a probably prolonged period of time, you will have Gitmo still being open and Thompson being open because the plan is to take about 90 or so terrorists at Gitmo, keep them there until their mother country can repatriate them, and that's Yemen, and Yemen doesn't want them because they're too dangerous. And so the rest, with the exception of maybe 30 or 40 who are ready for either military tribunal or federal district court trials will be sent to Gitmo. That's about 100 terrorists, as to whom the United States refuses to give either a military tribunal or a federal trial. And we have been advised that the reason for closing Gitmo is that there's so much hatred and animosity towards it by al-Qaeda that it serves as the chief recruiting tool for terrorists, and that our position, in fact, is shared by the former commander of the USS Cole, is that the hatred of al-Qaeda towards Gitmo will transfer to Thompson. It'll just be another rallying cry in their litany for either recruiting terrorists or just for their general propaganda.
But
nothing is served by spending what could be an additional half to $1 billion in moving these 100 prisoners or so to Thompson, Illinois.
Congressman Don Manzullo of Illinois. Now, if you don't want to see these inmates from Guantanamo.
They're terrorists.
Inmates moved from Guantanamo to Illinois. What would you like to see done?
Well, Diane, first of all, we've been advised by Phil Carter, who was in charge of these detainees, that these are al-Qaeda and Taliban terrorists. Actually should keep Gitmo Bay open, because we've also been advised by the representatives of the U.S. intelligence community that closing Gitmo will have nothing to do with protecting U.S. soldiers or stopping the recruitment of al-Qaeda, because they lump Gitmo Bay in with all the other places, including a civilian regular prison in England, and prisons that are in Iraq and Iran. So it's just one of a litany of different prisons as to which al-Qaeda makes particular reference in stirring up hatred towards the United States.
What about the jobs argument, Congressman, that the prison will bring much, much needed jobs to your very district?
Right. Well, first of all, we've been in favor of using the Illinois State Prison as a prison for Illinois inmates, and also our office has been in contact for years with the Illinois Department of Corrections that if you're not going to use it for Illinois prisoners, lease it or sell it to the federal government, because that will bring added economic benefit. But however, if you take a look at the White House economic forecast for the jobs that would come and the money that would flow into the area, if you even believed one half of that, and I'm not saying it's a concocted document, I'm just saying even if you believed one half of it came to pass, that's better wording, there'd be enough revenue in there from sales tax and state income tax that the state of Illinois itself could open that facility. But the problem there is it'd send all their money to the Chicago. And that's what Governor Quinn is doing. And if the man had any courage, he'd stand up and say, look it, we're at over 175% of capacity in the state of Illinois. Governor Quinn has released 1,850 felons in the past month or two since he's been governor, and now the people of Illinois are imperiled and at risk because of early release of felons that should be spending their time in prison, more particularly the Thompson prison.
All right, we've got four guests here in the studio: Lynn Sweet, Ken Goode, Tom Parker, and Juan Zarate. Lynn Sweet wants a question. Go ahead.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Congressman Manzullo.
How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I hope you're well. Now, you brought up, just so the listeners understand, the release issue that you mentioned is part of, a side issue for the moment, if
yeah.
we could put that aside,
right.
Congressman, because I don't want to confuse people in a complex argument. But you did say something that is a little new to me when you said that Quinn who's the governor, will be sending money to Chicago.
Right.
What money are you talking about here?
Any kind of money that's available. You know, we fight like heck on the roads bill every 5 years. We send all the money.
Let me just keep you focusing, because I know we don't have a lot of time.
Ask the question, then let me answer it, okay?
Okay. I was asking about the jobs.
Because we're in downstate Illinois,
okay.
We're always ignored. And that's the hue and cry of every member of Congress who's outside of Chicago, and every state rep and state senator outside of Chicago, is that Chicago gets an inordinate amount of money that goes to Springfield. It happens with road money. It helps with everything, you know, with everything else. And all the government has to do is remember there is a prison that the people of Illinois have bought and paid for with $140 million that is sitting there on the Mississippi River, that several, probably close to 100 employees there will lose their job because they don't qualify as federal guards.
All right.
And that all they had to do is do the priorities, open up the prison, and the economic activity would take more.
Okay.
We'll bring in more than sufficient to keep it open.
All right.
Here's a good point you do make, Congressman Manzillo, that has not been brought out until now. And that is, before new jobs can be added, the people who will work there will lose their jobs because the state will close the minimum security facility they have there.
They possibly
I'm
not sure that that's actually true.
Guards.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think what's we're talking about here, the portion of the prison that will have Guantanamo detainees will be leased to the Department of Defense.
No, that's not
the Bureau of Prisons will.
Let me explain. Let me set this up. And Congressman Manzullo on this one is right. Right now, the state has a minimum security facility there.
Yes.
The people the congressman is talking about, that will be closed. And those people, right, Congressman, those are the ones you're talking about, will lose their jobs.
Because to qualify to be a federal prison guard, you must be under 37 years old. And those guards there, a lot of them are over 37, the Illinois guards, and either they get transferred to somewhere else, some other prison.
Right. Well, the point being, they're state of Illinois employees. The state closes the facility, whoever they are, and whatever age and education they have to reapply.
All right, Ken Gu, you've got a question.
Sure, I do, and I appreciate, Congressman, you taking the time to speak with us today.
Who am I talking to?
Ken Good.
I'm from the Center for American Progress, and I just wanted to ask you a question. You raised in your opening that you think the Al-Qaeda and others will simply transfer their criticism of Guantanamo onto this Thompson base, and you say that's a reason why we shouldn't do it, but then you say that we should keep Guantanamo open.
Right.
And I find that confusing because it seems to me here that the real problem that we should be addressing is how to strengthen American national security. And obviously, if you think Al-Qaeda uses the Guantanamo Bay prison as a recruiting tool, shouldn't we be trying to find ways to close it rather than keep it open?
Well, you got two situations there. First of all, if you look at all the Al-Qaeda information that's on the net, there's tons of it already. Guantanamo is linked in with all the other prisons. They even mentioned Leavenworth, which never opened, or which never took them because of Governor Sebelius feared and successfully argued with President Obama that Leavenworth would become a target for areas outside of the prison, and therefore it would make the area outside the prison itself unsafe. But I don't think it's inconsistent. I don't think it's inconsistent to say that that the threat will transfer, because Gitmo Bay is going to remain open for some time with those people who are ready to be repatriated, and as to whom their mother country won't take them. At the same time, they'll be transferring those 100 prisoners.
So you want to keep Guantanamo open permanently?
It should stay open permanently.
Then
you don't transfer the threat.
So you don't seem to think that there's much of a threat then, I guess.
Well, no, that doesn't. No, that what you say doesn't make sense. There is a threat. There is a threat that the hatred towards Gitmo will transfer to Thompson, Illinois. Thompson's surrounded by melon fields and corn fields and beans, cattle, etc. And Gitmo is surrounded by water and sharks.
All right,
that's at the tip of Cuba. Plus, there's an article that appeared in Washington Post on November 29th, talking about two Yemeni brothers. One's in Gitmo Bay. And been there for 8 years without a trial. The other one is in Yemen, and the one in Yemen says that they all thought that when President Obama said he's going to close Gitmo, that the people would be set free. But if these people at Gitmo are sent to prisons in Illinois or prisons in the mainland of the U.S., that their hatred will become even greater, and they'll be more prone towards acts of violence.
Congress,
so that's another reason not to move it to the
mainland. Okay, Juan Zarate.
Diane, to this point, Guantanamo's always been a symptom of a larger problem, which is not having the legal framework to be able to hold individuals who present a national security risk long-term in a conflict that's unlike any other that we've seen before. Doesn't have a clear duration. We're not fighting an army that with soldiers that wear uniforms, so identity is always a question and issue. So Guantanamo is a symptom of this larger problem. Transferring these individuals to Illinois simply transfers that problem. And I think the real danger for the Obama administration is doing this without the legal framework And I think President Obama runs the risk of putting the albatross of the problems of Guantanamo around his own neck and simply creating the problem again in a different form in Thompson.
Tom Parker.
You know, I'm very concerned to hear the congressman talk about 190 terrorists. There are, I think, 23 people who have actually been indicted before any tribunal of a crime that are currently being held at Guantanamo. Everybody else there is not held on the basis of evidence. They're held on the basis of intelligence. And I can tell you, I worked for 6 years as an intelligence officer. I spent my life, a large chunk of my life, pushing intelligence papers across a desk, reading them, trying to figure out where the information comes from. And most of it is innuendo, gossip, inference. That is not enough to hold someone for 7 years without trial. It's just wrong. It's not what democracies do.
The problem with that, though, is the Obama administration, like the prior administration, has said that they're not going to release individuals that they have information on who presented a danger. President Obama made an incredibly important speech in May at the archives, and he said we are going to have a preventive detention model.
Juan Zarate, he is a former Deputy National Security Advisor under George W. Bush. And you're listening to the Diane Rehm Show. Congressman Manzullo, one last point. Considering the fact that you've got such a prison facility in Colorado that no one has been able to escape from, that has benefited that community in terms of job creation and the like. How would you compare or contrast Thompson to what's already there in Colorado?
Well, Diane, first of all, the argument is that there are presently U.S. held in U.S. foreign and domestic terrorists. And if you take who these people are, they're approximately first of all, no one's worried about anybody escaping from anywhere. That's not going to happen. No one's concerned about that. The threat that we see is that the area will serve as a magnet. This is why Governor Sebelius successfully fought President Obama, said, don't bring those people here because it will threaten the area around the prison and the surrounding environs because of the people that will attract. It'll be a lightning rod. It'll be a magnet. Plus, the people that we have presently housed now are no indication and not even close example as to who would come. We have Marion, Illinois, Terre Haute, Indiana, and Supermax in Florence, Colorado. Each of those holds between 30 and 40 what the Bureau of Prisons and DOD call international or domestic terrorists.
So you would like to
all 120, Diane, you probably have maybe 10 or 15 with international ties.
So you'd like to see them spread around?
No, I would like to see Gitmo stay closed.
All right. Gitmo stay open?
For Gitmo to stay open, because what will happen at Thompson, Illinois, and this is what DOD admitted, is that Thompson will become the largest concentration of international terrorists incarcerated in the United States, over 100 of them, and that becomes the magnetic attraction on it.
Republican Congressman Don Manzullo, he represents Illinois' 16th District. That's where the Thompson Prison is located. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for
Diane.
Joining
Appreciate
us.
It.
Ken Goode, I'd like your reaction to the congressman's points.
I think it's interesting that we have this nice debate, and I appreciate both Tom and Juan's points. And the congressman was very courageous for coming on the show and opening himself up to this kind of a debate. Unfortunately, what we've been talking about here isn't really the debate that's going on in the political circles in the country. We had a substantive discussion there about the pros and cons of moving the detainees at Guantanamo to Thompson, Illinois. But what's been going on in the country is that the vice president, the former vice president of the United States, Dick Cheney, comes out and accuses the current president of treason. The House GOP caucus comes out and says, Obama is trying to move terrorists into your neighborhood. That's what they're talking about. You have Senator Jeff Sessions, who in 2002, when at the time the supposed 20th hijacker, Zacharias Moussaoui, was put on trial in federal court here in Northern Virginia, he called that a triumph for the rule of law. When we put Khalid Sheikh Mohammed on trial in New York, it's an outrage, and it's a violation of all that America stands for, and is an incredible risk. So unfortunately, this kind of discussion is not the kind of discussion that the Obama administration is facing.
But that's – so you're just saying – you're opening up, I think, a sidebar discussion there, if I may respectfully say so, that really doesn't have –
But no, I don't think that that's true because this is what the Obama administration is facing.
One of you at a time, please. Go ahead, Lynn.
I understand. I think what you're trying to say is that there is a double standard. But at this point, if we're trying to discuss what happens after Guantanamo, since the president has ordered to close, the facility is starting to be emptied, and it seems to me, unless you gentlemen who know a lot about this are telling me it's not going to happen, it seems we are on a course to close it. Now, whether or not the president takes heat, doesn't take heat, is part of the political discussion, but doesn't seem to me on point.
Oh, I don't think that that's true at all. And let me respond to that, because this is what we're talking about here is a very political discussion, and that there hasn't been any kind of constructive opposition from the Republicans. There was a bipartisan agreement before the president took office that we needed to close it. And all of a sudden now he's risking the American lives. It's crazy.
Ken Goode, he is associate director of the Center for American Progress. Short break. When we come back, your calls.
National broadcast of The Diane Rehm Show is made possible in part by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, promoting lifelong family connections for children and youth, on the web at aecf.org. By the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world, on the web at hewlett.org. And by the George Lucas Educational Foundation, creator of Edutopia, your source for what works in public education. Learn more at edutopia.org. This is NPR.
Healthcare overhaul legislation inches along in the Senate. Ben Bernanke is named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. A panel of journalists talks about these stories and the rest of the week's top news, The Diane Rehm Show, Friday. It's time to open the phones as we talk about the president's decision to move those detainees currently, or some of them currently held at Guantanamo Bay, to a prison facility currently in very, very small use called the Thompson Prison in Illinois. Let's go first to Springfield, Missouri. Good morning, Aaron. You're on the air.
Good morning, Diane. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly.
What I want to ask is why you all aren't ashamed that we're even talking about preventive detention in America. That's completely against everything that this country is supposed to stand for. And yet now we're talking about establishing a prison in America, on American soil, where people are going to be held indefinitely, without charge, without trial, without any chance to have any evidence presented to anybody. How is this different than what countries like Egypt or China or any other repressive regime you can think of?
All right, Aaron, thanks for your call. And Tom Parker, that's the issue that has been at the basis of the whole Guantanamo Bay Detention Center right from the start. But now we're talking about moving them. So has the issue moved on, or is it still the same one?
Well, first off, I think Aaron's absolutely right, and I am ashamed to be sitting here talking about indefinite detention in the United States. And her point about how do we differentiate the United States from authoritarian countries is a good one. There are three American teenagers locked up in Iran at the moment on intelligence grounds that the Iranian government is not going to share. And those teenagers, those young people may end up going to jail for a very long time. To people watching around the world, it doesn't look so very different to the way people have been treated in Guantanamo. And that's a problem because it really matters how America is perceived around the world.
All right, let's hear a different view from Rebecca. She's in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Diane. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Good. My point about getting the prison, we wanted to get in Standish, Michigan. We wanted to house the prisoners because it is an economic boom. And as far as, you know, bringing in a bunch of undesirable elements, I mean, the detainees can't fly or walk through walls or anything. I mean, they're not superhuman, and we do have law enforcement and intelligence, and if we had acted on it before 9/11, we could have prevented it. There's no reason why we couldn't act on reliable intelligence now to keep something from happening, to draw in terrorists to wherever we're housing them.
Ken Good.
I think Rebecca is exactly right, but I also think, you know, if she has concerns about why it's not Standish, she should take those up with Pete Hoekstra, who was the representative who was on the deputy on the House Intelligence Committee, who is running for governor and basically made it a politically unstable position for Michigan to house those detainees. But Rebecca is also exactly right to say that these aren't superhuman criminals here. They are people who can be held in custody safely and securely. We can do this. Of course, we have to take the necessary precautions. And of course, on the surface, it brings some fear into the minds of people. But we can safely and securely hold these prisoners and protect the surrounding area.
Juan Zarate, if you bring these individuals into the United States proper and you have not dealt with the legal issues, the primary legal issues, what happens then?
I think you've got a disaster on your hands, and I think this move actually complicates where we are in the legal landscape. The legal landscape on the question of detainees, preventative detention, their rights via habeas corpus and otherwise is wholly unsettled. The Supreme Court has yet to rule on whether or not, for example, habeas corpus rights apply to Bagram detainees. The Supreme Court has yet to rule on whether or not a court can order a Gitmo detainee into the United States. And so by physically moving these people into the U.S., you not only attach certain rights to them, but you create greater problems and even a potential constitutional crisis if a court were to order that based on a habeas corpus review, those individuals should be released, and you can't release them to a country, another country. We would have otherwise if we could. And the Obama administration has been very clear about this. The May speech was a very important speech, and I would ask your listeners to go back and look at it, where the president said there will be those detainees who we cannot prosecute, yet who pose a clear danger to the American people. And he pledged at that point to go to Congress to set the appropriate legal framework. And I applauded him for that because I think that's precisely what we've needed. We need clarity, transparency, and a clear process where if we're going to hold people outside of a criminal or military commissions process, we need to have a system
but
that's legitimate.
But you're saying he did not do that.
He did not. He has not. And moving the Gitmo, whatever subset, detainees to Illinois only complicates the issues.
Lynn Sweet.
Now, here's something that maybe you gentlemen can help me sort out. The impression of Congress and people in Congress I've talked to is that the White House owes them a plan. The White House told me that they don't. And I think this will come into clear issue soon. I was at a briefing with House Speaker Pelosi yesterday, and I asked her if she thought that Congress had to vote to lift the ban on bringing to the United States people who were held who are either called untriables, or as you talk to them, indefinite.
Untriables.
That's one word I've heard.
Whoa.
That's a rough word, but that's one word. People who cannot find a legal basis, Diane, to try.
You know, and it's important to challenge that, because there's always a legal basis to try someone, or you let them
go. Let's not get hung up on that word for the people who are being held.
It's an ugly word.
So that would be, so I'm asking, I think that this is a bit of an open question. Does Congress have to vote to lift the ban on bringing in the people? And is there a plan that the White House owes them?
Congress very much has to vote to lift restrictions that they placed in May or June on bringing detainees from Guantanamo into the United States. They've already voted to lift the restriction that would allow the Obama administration to bring them into the U.S. for trial. But now they have to, if they intend to hold detainees outside of the trial system, and the caller is right and Tom is right, this is a very difficult issue and it's one that I'm uncomfortable with, but if the Obama administration intends to do that, they have to get Congress to vote for it. Now, Congress may also want a plan, but I also would suggest to Congress that there is a plan now. I mean, we have transfers to resettlement in third countries and back to native countries. We have prosecution in federal criminal court. We have prosecution in military commissions, and we have potential for detention without trial. And that's their plan, and they're going to hold those detainees at Thompson. So I'm not sure what else Congress would actually need.
Well, that, to a certain extent, is not a plan. That's precisely what had been happening anyway. Recall that at the height of the population of Guantanamo, you had upwards of 800 individuals in Guantanamo. That population was reduced in the prior administration to about 240 or so. And the Obama administration has basically used the same playbook in terms of trying to amplify and transfer individuals, put people into the criminal legal system or the military commissions process. I think what is really lacking here is not the numbers and the subsets of the detainees, but the more fundamental question of how are we going to legitimate this three-tiered legal process, a criminal legal process, military commissions, and preventive detention. And if I'm somewhat uncomfortable with the debate too, but we've got to come to grips with it. And if the reality is that we say that you have to have trials for individuals, we also have to come to grips with the fact that we're going to release dangerous individuals.
All right, let's go now to St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning, Steve. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm kind of perplexed about a lot of these security concerns because, to be quite honest, prisons hold dangerous people, and we've prosecuted murderers and rapists and people who, you know, are members of gangs and organized crimes. I mean, these are not nice people, and yet our criminal justice system deals with them, and you know, our prison guards and law enforcement personnel know how to deal with them. So it seems to me that a lot of the suggestions that somehow we're going to be dealing with people who are so dangerous that they don't even deserve to to be held here, it's just perplexing to me. And I wonder if the issue more is just that there's some moral judgment about the types of people that we're dealing with than security concerns.
Tom Parker.
I would agree with that entirely. Prisons do handle many, many dangerous people. They handle terrorists. There are 193 convicted terrorists in U.S. prisons. To go back to the congressman's point, there are seven, eight members of al-Qaeda or affiliates of al-Qaeda who are held in the Colorado Supermax prison. I'm not aware of any al-Qaeda attack on Colorado, but I'm sure it would make the news if something like that had happened. It's just not a realistic concern. At the end of the day, al-Qaeda does not appear to have the capability to mount attacks in the United States.
All right. To Elliot, who's in Sarasota, Florida. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. I would just like to make a point about the status of Guantanamo. It seems that while I agree with most of what people are saying about it, I think what the point that's missing is the reason Guantanamo has such a bad name is the torture images that the world saw about what we're doing in Guantanamo. So I think that the negative feeling about Guantanamo around the world is that it's a torture place. Now, as long as we have stated that we will not torture, I think that takes a lot of the stigma off of it. And the location of the prisoners, I think, is much less important than the philosophy that we're presenting about not torturing anymore.
Tom Parker.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. This is all part of a package. And it's a package of things that have undermined America's reputation around the world because America departed from its core values. We need to end torture. We need to end indefinite detention. And I have to say, it's not clear that torture has ended. We've had stories of abuse in Afghanistan, in American-run prisons, continuing since the new administration came into office. There's a lack of transparency. This administration still doesn't let human rights organizations go in and meet with detainees to find out what's really going on in these prisons. So, you know, we're a long way away from walking back all of these sad and heinous events that have taken place over the last 7 or 8 years to a point that we can be proud in our values and our standards again.
Ken, good.
Well, I think that there's a significant difference between an official policy of torture and abuse and violations by individuals that go beyond a policy specifically designed to prevent torture and abuse. I think the Obama administration has done very good things on torture. I think they have undermined their own progress with secrecy. And with a lack of transparency.
But fine words without prosecutions for people who break the laws, well, fairly meaningless. We have laws and they're not being enforced.
But here again, I think if we could go back to the tenor of most of the questions that we've received are on the call here are based on the scaremongering and fearmongering that has been going on around this issue from the very day that the president announced that we would close this prison. And I don't think that we can divorce the political nature of this argument and fight from the substantive discussion that we're having. A lot of the callers are apparently puzzled, confused, and bemused by the fact that all of a sudden people in jail are going to be harm us and kill us. It's just crazy. And we have to understand that this is the political environment that we're operating in.
Ken Good of the Center for American Progress, and you're listening to The Diane Rehm Show. Here's an email from Nancy in Cincinnati. Please explain to me how prisoners can be known to be too dangerous to be released if there is not sufficient evidence for them to go to trial. That's the question that keeps coming up.
Lindsay. I think the White House said they never, that's not the reason that they, I don't think that quote I've seen around, but I think the White House disavowed that in recent days. Maybe they have another way of saying it that talks more about
the reality is that to present a case in a criminal trial or in a military commission, there's rules of evidence, there's types of evidence that are admissible, you know, limitations on hearsay, limitations perhaps on the production of witnesses.
Sure.
The reality is that many of these detainees were captured in the early days post 9/11, where we didn't have CSI Kandahar out dusting for prints or taking witness statements. It was a different context, intelligence gathering prevention. That said, the administration has not disavowed the notion that there are cases, individuals in which there is intelligence and other information where they're fine and confident that these are dangerous individuals, but they cannot present the cases in a trial.
All right. Here's what I want to know. The president has made this statement that these prisoners currently held at Guantanamo are going to be transferred to Thompson. What happens next, Ken?
Well, we have a big political fight in Congress over moving this restriction. You know, we had an amendment from Senator James Inhofe just about a couple of weeks ago where it was essentially defeated by 57 votes. That 57 number is very important when we think about the Senate because the Obama administration will have to have an affirmative vote to remove these restrictions. The possibility of a filibuster exists, and consequently, the Obama administration will have to have at least 60 votes in the Senate because of the way in which the filibuster is now being used on every single issue. The Obama administration will need to get at least 60 votes to get this
done. So what you all are saying is it could be a very long time before anything changes or happens, Lynn?
It will take months to do the construction. It will take months to sort this out in Congress.
The only thing that's changed here is the geography.
Well, I think but that's actually not true. I think that it's a convenient thing to describe this as Guantanamo North, but it is not Guantanamo North. Guantanamo, as the caller described, is associated with torture, abuse, and gross violations of the law. And while I'm disappointed that the Obama administration has not gone for a complete overhaul, they have made meaningful and significant improvements to the conditions that that the Guantanamo detainees, whoever is transferred to Guantanamo, will face. And that is just
this also goes to the myth and the reality of Guantanamo. As Tom mentioned earlier, Guantanamo is much different now than it was in the past. You've had OECD monitors there, International Committee of the Red Cross. Even Attorney General Holder went down and said it's a model prison and was meeting the highest standards of the American legal system. So if we're dealing with the perception of Guantanamo, we haven't done a good enough job of explaining what Guantanamo actually is now. And I do think we are simply transferring the same problems, if not complicating the problems, by moving this north to Illinois. And, you know, I agree the security issues are a bit of a canard, because we can certainly hold dangerous individuals. That's not the issue. The question is, can we hold them legally under our legal system? And the onus is on the administration to try to set that debate.
Very briefly, Tom.
I think Ken gave you the best case scenario, which is that Thompson isn't Guantanamo yet.
And will not become Guantanamo or anything like it in the coming immediate months because of all that has to be said and done first. Thank you all, Lynn Sweet, Ken Good, Tom Parker, Juan Zarate. This is clearly a discussion that's going to continue for a while. Thank you again. Thanks for listening, all. I'm Diane Rehm.
The Diane Rehm Show is produced by Sandra Pinkard, Nancy Robertson, Jonathan Smith, Susan Neighbors, Denise Couture, and Monique Nazareth. The engineer is Toby Schreiner. Dori Annisman answers the phones. Visit drshow.org for audio archives and CD sales, transcripts from SoftScribe, and podcasts. Call 202-885-1200 for more information.